This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
David, over this past Father's Day, where he was asked again and again, it was yelled out, what's going on with the investigation and the obstruction charge? His lawyer replied, he was part of the Sunday Swirl. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney welcoming you to yet another version of America Tonight as we kick off another week. But before we get to the prez and the latest of what's happening and his approval ratings from Rasmussen and some other odds and ends, I got to talk about this. Here we go. London once again on edge big time. And why? A van slams into a group outside of a mosque. One person is dead. 10 people are injured. The van driver was dragged out by some people who were there and held until the police arrived. Two others jumped out of the van, supposedly, and got away. They're looking for them. So there's a lot of pressure, I think, on the Prime Minister, probably Parliament, on all of their law enforcement-type agencies to do something. And what do you do? How do you prevent a van, a car, that kind of thing, that kind of an attack? So more victims, more people connected to the victims, more despicable, heinous, outrageous acts that make you see it and say, wow, I feel sorry for those people. Can you imagine being one of those people? Can you imagine narrowly missing getting slammed into out of nowhere by a van, and you have your kids with you? Yeah, you're with your friends, whatever. You're by yourself. And they have been really just battered by these incidents in England. Because you had the thing at London Bridge, now you have this mosque, outside the mosque attack. You had the thing at the concert that also happened in Britain. It's a you-know-what storm out there, which also intensifies, I believe, the need for massive sharing of databases and comparing who might be on a list and who's being looked at and whatever. And it's very tough to do, as we have sat down, and we will again, with CIA agents, former CIA agents who worked in this area and talked pretty openly about what has to happen and what isn't happening. And that even though there's more actually sharing of information, there's still not enough of it. How much is it internationally? Obviously, some more wouldn't hurt. I think find the people you trust and trade that info as fast as you can. Any intel is good intel. Preventing more of these incidents from happening, it's absolutely vital. I mean, absolutely vital. No question about it. People were shocked. People were scrambling. And I love that witnesses to that van jumped into action. Didn't just stand there, weren't frozen in time, jumped into action, got the guy in the van down. Love it. So that at least they could get somebody in custody. What they'll learn or know, who knows. But at least that'll happen. Thank goodness. Thank goodness. In the meantime, what's going on with the press? I mentioned this. The Rasmussen poll just released, what a happy Father's Day for him, a new poll that showed he has a 50% approval rating. Remember in these recent polls, other polls that were done, it was much lower than that. So he tweeted out that Rasmussen was accurate because look what happened in the 2016 elections and what they were predicting there as far as approval ratings and other various kinds of polls. The lawyer for the president was a big-time guest on the Sunday Swirl, the Sunday talk shows, the Talking Heads. And the lawyer, who is Jay Sukalo, who's part of the legal team anyway, said that he has no knowledge of the president being the target of a federal investigation. And this is following Trump's own statements saying that he was being investigated. And I suppose that's because of all the cries of, is there obstruction of justice? But that's not the case because you would formally be notified. And so Sukalo was quick to make sure that everybody was aware of that the president wasn't notified by anyone. And he actually even had kind of a heated exchange with Chris Wallace about whether Trump could be under investigation on Fox. And he said, you don't know that he's not under investigation. He said, I can't read minds. This is so pretty interesting. At least there's no notification is pretty much what he's saying. Whatever. Then certainly Trump, like I said, led people to believe that he was because of his response to a Washington Post story where unnamed sources said he was being investigated. The FBI, as you know, and two congressional panels are looking into whether the campaign or the presidential transition team colluded with Russia during or after the race for the White House in 2016. You know, all this springs back to James Comey, the fired FBI director, who told the president he wasn't a target in the investigation. But now you have Mueller, who is the former FBI director who is in charge of the investigation, and so it's different. It's different altogether. Completely altogether, it's different. And it's interesting how many times this possible collusion in Russia and all that have been mentioned. I mean, if we could probably take all those words and wrap them around the United States twice. But I wonder if in the end there's going to be anything there. Is there going to be something that is just going to say, well, I mean, look at this. It's nailed shut. Here it is. Here's your evidence. I don't think so. I don't think we're going to find that. We're going to hear the drumbeat, but I just don't believe we're going to see any kind of a serious tie. And because anybody with some kind of improper tie is gone, like Michael Flynn. Right? If you live in Georgia, and I know there's people listening to us in the great state of Georgia, a Georgia sheriff says he's confident a $130,000 reward will be paid for an inmate's capture. We're going to talk about that next. Among the other ways we're going to weave in odds and ends here on America Tonight. Hang with us.
Haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to gcnteam.com.
Are you retired or facing retirement and you're afraid your income is going to be less than you'd like? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and I want to show you a low-cost way to create your own business, working around your current schedule, creating extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
Lifetime Grazed 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com, or find us on Facebook.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
If you helped find the escaped inmates, the Putnam County Sheriff says that he's confident that reward for the two escaped inmates is going to be paid out. He released a statement on Sunday because people were up in arms. Sheriff Howard Sills, what were you thinking? He explained why he initially said this dough is not going to be handed out and why his decision changed. So let me roll the tape back. Imagine in your neighborhood there were some escapees. Oh, I've dealt with this once as a news reporter. You don't want to be anywhere near that mess. Ricky Dubois and Donnie Rowe were arrested Thursday in a rural area in Tennessee. It ended a 3-day manhunt. They are accused of killing Sergeant Christopher Monica and Sergeant Curtis Bellew and escaping from a prison bus. That's what happened on Highway 16 in Putnam County. During a news conference on Thursday, Sills said he announced the reward money would not be paid out after receiving incorrect info from Tennessee authorities claiming the suspects surrendered to law enforcement, who are forbidden from receiving rewards. Sills said he later learned that Rowe and Dubois had not surrendered to deputies in Tennessee, so they're investigating and assessing if there were people who were in fact responsible for providing info which resulted in the arrests of the fugitives. He said then they would pay them out. Patrick Hale is the man who's being credited with holding the two escapees until the authorities arrived. They haven't announced how and to whom the reward money would go. I say if you're holding them, and if you're the one who called, don't know that, you should get the money, because who knows what could have happened there. If they offer a reward and someone steps up and they help, boom, bada bing, that's it. Cough up the money, period. You know, again, end of story. From the category of lock 'em up, I love this. When justice is served, how about this Florida swim instructor, bottom feeder, who was sentenced to life. Sentenced to life. What did he do? He molested 3 6-year-old girls. That happened heading into the weekend. He molested the 3 students in his class at Deerfield Beach Aquatics in 2015. All were 6, like I said. He was trying to claim accidental contact, but there was no way to misinterpret what he had done. It was pretty clear. They had him. So after 3 days and 4 hours of deliberation, that was it. That's all they needed to know about Francisco de Aragon. He was found guilty on 5 criminal counts against him, including sexual battery of a child. That's an automatic sentence of life imprisonment. Did you know that? Yeah. And you know what's interesting? He rejected a plea deal. He would have, if he had taken the plea deal, it would have been 25 years behind bars. He's adamant that he's innocent. Adamant about it. Awful. I mean, it's a sad story when that happened. Ugh. I think the scales of justice went in the right direction there. I really do. As much as we can complain when it doesn't, and the victims, to me, I hate to hear about the victims. I mean, I want to hear about the victims, but in the sense that we need to have faces on victims so that I think there's that empathy, that feeling, and talk more about that and what happens there instead of the reverse. Instead of the reverse. This is always scary to me when this happens. And every once in a while, you get one of these, right? Where a deck collapse happens and there's people on the deck, or a second level of a building, or a building garage collapses. Dozens of people were injured, some critically, after a second-story deck collapsed at a Montana lodge over the weekend. And this is really sad. It was during a funeral. 32 people were hurt. 32, 5 critically. This was at Glacier Presbyterian Camp, about 100 miles north of Missoula. Some of you are listening to us in Montana. I guarantee you were talking about this. First responders were great. They were quick. They got there as soon as they could. They airlifted anyone critical. Got them out. But can you imagine you're at a funeral and that happens and boom. There was 50 people on the deck. 50 people. And it just collapsed. The weight just collapsed. And, you know, ironically, sadly, they were on the deck to remember William Nickel, who was a Flathead Valley firefighter who died in April. So they were there for that. To honor him, and then this horrible tragedy happens. I mean, things happen, but that was unexpected. I mean, it was just one of those horrible things. Just boom, and the deck fell, and nobody could do much of anything, because once that happens, then you're just looking to scramble, figure out who's around you, and are you going to make it out of that, or not. And hopefully those people who are critical survive. They got, like I said, they got them up and out quickly. And when I say that we talk about what's happening in your backyard, what happened in Montana can happen anywhere, right? One time I was, and you don't really think about this kind of stuff, but one time I was on a ferry boat that left from New York, from Manhattan, to go over to the Statue of Liberty. I wanted to take my husband there, had never seen it, who grew up in Texas and, of course, has traveled all over. And I've been to New York, but had never been there. I was like, oh, you have to see it. So we get on the boat, and now you have to really get tickets ahead of time and get on the boat. And the boat, there's a lot of people on the boat, and I'm not really thinking about it, about the ballast. But darn if that boat didn't start to really, it's giant, didn't really start to shift to one side, and people were yelling. And luckily, what happened was immediately people were smart, and you had a big shift of some people moving to the other side, realizing, okay, it's top heavy, and there's too many people on this one side. So that's causing this to shift, and we were already gone from the deck. So there's no, let's figure this thing out, or we're something's wrong, we're going back. No. We're either going in the Hudson, or and we're listing, or we're figuring out how we're shifting bodies. And in the case of the deck, I mean, who would think of that? What weight it would support, because you would think it would support a lot of weight, and it looked like a nice area, but, you know, you had a lot of people on it, and maybe it was just too much, and maybe something was going on with the wood, where the wood had rotted. They haven't said that, and it just doesn't look like it. I've seen the pictures of it and some video of it, but it didn't look that way to me. But who knows? You'd have to really investigate that. But it's interesting. It's part of that being aware thing that maybe you look around. Those people, I don't blame them. And would I think of that? No, I'd be on the deck with everybody else. But it's just one of those deals where sometimes there's just too much weight on one side of thing, whether it's of something, whether it's a deck, whether it's an outside patio. I've seen that happen before. I've seen that happen on water. I wasn't too far away from it, but I was on the other side, and I saw that go down. So sometimes it's just kind of that looking around thing, but terrible, the Montana deck collapse. Especially, it doesn't matter. Any time it collapsed would be terrible, but the fact that they were there for that funeral, but luckily first responders, boy, you got to really tip your caps to the people who scramble fast, try to make something happen because they knew they had to airlift them. And then finally here, Stephen First. Remember him? You might not remember the name. Remember Flounder and Animal House? Died at the age of 63 from complications from diabetes. He was living in Moore Park, California, which is an area just north of Los Angeles. His son let everybody know that happened. He was in that 78 movie, pretty popular with John Belushi. He drew a lot of interesting work, I think, after that. He was in St. Elsewhere. He played in a sci-fi series, Babylon 5. He voiced characters on TV's Buzz Lightyear of Star Command. He was part of Little Mermaid 2, Return to Sea. So how about that? Rip to Flounder. Forbes is next here on America Tonight.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Imagine what it's like to be active your whole life and then find out you're going blind. That's what happened to me. I have age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. As a wife, mother, and grandmother, my sight is precious to me. What a relief when I found out that treatments for some forms of AMD are available and that research is underway on additional preventions and treatments. AMD is the leading cause of vision loss in people 55 and over. When I started seeing blurry spots in the middle of my eye, I saw my doctor. She suggested I review the prevention and treatment information on fightblindness.org. Did you know that some forms of AMD can be slowed down or stopped, and in some cases reversed if found in time? Get more information about preserving your vision. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD. Or go to the website where I found so much helpful information. Fightblindness.org. 1-800-BLINDNESS. 1-800-254-6363. Or fightblindness.org.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Neely. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-958-6936. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-958-6936. Call 1-800-958-6936. 1-800-958-6936.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Greg, I don't know about you, but I am a huge fan of the romance novel. My mother was a voracious reader, and after she passed away and we were cleaning out her place, I found underneath her bed stacks and stacks of romance novels. And this woman was brilliant. I mean, she was so, so smart. And I thought it was so cool that she also, besides reading all these heavy books about biographies, etc., that she had this passion for romance. And I think it's very cool that we have romance novelist Lauren Smith with us, and she has written a ton of books. But what's really, really cool about her too, she has a secret. She's a lawyer by day and a fantasy novelist by night. Lauren, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So when I say lawyer by day, and then you're this fantasy novelist by night, tell us about that. That's intriguing.
Well, you know, it's funny. It was like you were talking about with your mother and romance novels. I had never read a romance novel until I was in law school. Law school is such a grueling, stressful process, and I just remember thinking I needed a way to escape, and I was a big reader, and I'd been writing since the third grade, and one of my friends said, you know, you write love stories. Have you ever read a romance? And I said, oh my gosh, no, I don't read that stuff.
That's I would never read that, right? Romance right. novels, I'm not going to do that.
I'm too good for that. And then I started reading them, and I was blown away by the writing, the quality of the stories, the research that the writers put in. And what I really loved was that love stories aren't cheesy. They aren't cliche. They're about characters overcoming obstacles to be together and solving problems. And I just was astounded that I thought this genre has such a bad rap and the stories are so captivating and wonderful. And I thought, I want to write that. And so I survived law school by reading romances and writing romances. And then it just kind of took off and it became this kind of way to survive the stresses of being a lawyer, because during the day, you know, I would be, you know, stuck in court all day. And I would kind of just, you know, in between my cases on the dockets, I would pull out my notebook and just kind of write a few pages here or there. And it just kind of calmed me down and kind of helped me find my zen.
Were you ever in writing in those stolen moments during your day job as a lawyer, kind of weaving the judge or the bailiff or the other attorneys or the defendants into your stories in any way?
You know, I was tempted. I think what a lot of people ask me is, you know, do you ever consider writing legal thrillers? And I've thought about it, but the thing is you have to really know something well to write it. And I think if I tried to write something really legal or have a lot of legal connections to my lawyer past, it would be really difficult to get it just right. I think, you know, John Grisham and those other attorneys, David Baldacci, what they do is so difficult, because I think other lawyers, when you read the books, my father's a lawyer too, and we read them and we think, oh, you know, they messed up on this little part, or they should have done this in this case, you know. And so I've steered away from that, and I try not to let anybody that I've met in real life kind of color my writing as far as characters, although I have had some amazing experiences that I thought someday, 20 years down the road when it's safe, I'm like, I might write some memoirs off of the things that I've seen in court over the years.
We're talking with Lauren Smith. Her website, by the way, is Lauren Smith Books. It's L-A-U-R-E-N, Smith, S-M-I-T-H, books.com, laurensmithbooks.com. She's a romance novelist, and you mentioned a law career as being in the past, so you're no longer working as a lawyer. You're a full-time novelist. And let me add to that question. When you discovered the romance novel to today, how much time passed? Because I think people are wondering, is this the kind of business or entrepreneurial opportunity that takes years to cultivate? Or is it something that if I have the writing skills, I might be able to dive into and begin to build some success in a quick way?
It is quick, depending on what type of person you are. I knew going in that I wanted to make writing a full-time career. So I've read my first romance novel in 2009, which was about midway through my second year of law school, and I passed the bar in 2011. I worked as a full-time attorney up until about a year and a half ago, and now I work part-time. So I kind of say it's in the past as far as full-time work, but I still work with sole practitioner attorneys out of my house. I write legal briefs, and I do research for them and proofread their briefs and other kind of small things that don't require me to go into court anymore. That way I can work full time. And the main thing that I would say is if anybody's interested in this entrepreneurial effort as far as being a writer, it can happen, especially in this day and age with indie publishing or self-publishing being such a huge opportunity. What you have to do, though, is you have to approach the market and say, what is selling and can I write that? And that's the research you have to do, because I think a lot of people think, oh, I can write a book, and they want to write a book, but it might be not in a genre that sells well. So you have to be ready to adjust your writing ability and think, do I want to write mystery thriller? Do I want to write some commercial fiction, you know, romance, stuff that is on the market, in the airports, in the Walmart, stuff that people buy and read three or four books like that a week? That's the kind of stuff that makes money. So you have to approach it with a critical eye and say, what can I write that's going to sell and make money? And that took me about from my first book published in 2014 in January, and now I have about 25 titles out as of
25
now.
25 titles.
And I try to release 6 a year. So.
Yeah, wow. And so in saying that, and we'll get back to the books that you have, but how about using social media in your business as a romance novelist? I would think that could also meld well just to get the word out. Is that what you have to do as well?
Oh, yes. It's absolutely crucial. You know, the days of writers being in little cabins in Maine and enjoying their privacy is over. You know, I remember having a talk with my publicist, and she says, you have to take pictures of your life. Put it on Instagram. Show people what your day-to-day life is. And I remember thinking, but I'm so boring. How can you know? But what I realize is people love pictures of your pets. So my dogs are the stars of my Instagram account. And I've developed a Facebook group on Facebook where people, as a private, you know, kind of exclusive group, and I share teasers with them. I let them know it's going on. I let them have inputs on my covers if I'm self-publishing a book, and I give them feedback, and I run special contests, and then they do reviews for me, and then they push me out on all of their social media accounts to share what they love. So it's really a give and take. In the romance reader community, readers are so involved with you, and they love your stories, and they care about your characters so much that they will go the extra mile if you really cultivate that relationship as a two-way street, a friendship. And it takes a lot of effort, and it, for an introvert like me, it is a little difficult, but they make it so rewarding because they love your stories so much that it's like talking to friends every day when I get on social media and interact with them.
So because of that, I would assume with the, you know, 25 plus and pounding more out books, that people must wonder, and you're writing romance, they must wonder about your love life. Do people ask you questions about that?
I think that the running joke is people, my parents are very supportive of my romance writing career, and they're very involved in the business. They're sort of like part of my entrepreneurial team. And we have friends of theirs that always come up and ask my dad and my mom jokingly, and they say, was your daughter writing this from real life experience? And my dad goes, no, definitely not. It's a running joke. I mean, they just say, no. But the trick is, you know, writing romance, all you have to do is read what other people out there have written, and you kind of can integrate the styles and what works in scenes to you. It's kind of almost, I jokingly say, it's almost scientific to write about love.
Which, of course, when you're falling in love, it's the least scientific thing in the world until you look at it biologically.
Right.
All right, we're talking with Lauren Smith. She's a romance novelist. Her website is laurensmithbooks.com. And I want to talk about your books and take kind of an interesting angle on this, Lauren, because, look, first of all, we're Forbes Books at Bedtime, so bedtime, perfect time to talk about romance novels, right? But we're also Forbes Books, and so you brought up marketing, and we're very interested in the marketing of romance novels and how you've learned that. And so one of the things I want to do is give you an opportunity to tell us about your books. For instance, you have a series called The League of Rogues. Tell us about the series and why, from a marketing perspective, writing a series of romance novels is so important.
A series is so important because the average romance reader will read 3 to 4 books a week. And if you can get them addicted to your book,
a week.
That's why it is a $2.8 billion industry in romance alone, and they prove it by reading that much.
So they go to get more books more than they go to the grocery store to get food.
Exactly.
Wow.
Kate, I think we're in the wrong business.
I know. That's incredible. Oh, my gosh. That's unbelievable. Are you kidding? And what's the demographic? What's the demographic of the people who read romance novels that you know of?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Since the new adult, young adult genres, new adult being 12 to 18-year-old readers and new adult being 18 to 24-year-old readers, you've got this kind of what I call the twilight readers are aging up. The readers that were reading, you know, high school age fiction, they're in their college years now, and they are wanting more adult romances. And you're seeing a younger crowd transferring over. And so our demographic is now about between 18 and 18. Now, to be honest, we're spread that wide, with the average being in the 40s and 50s in age, but it's getting a lot younger.
So tell us about your books. If we're just hearing you for the first time and we have not discovered you at laurensmithbooks.com, which book would you recommend we get first to get started on that 3 to 4 a week?
Well, you know, that's a tough question because I'm one of the few authors that really tries to write everything under the sun. So I write historical romances, paranormal romances, contemporary romance. I do a little bit of erotic romance. But I would probably say, if you're just the average reader who hasn't been exposed to me, I would say the League of Rogues series, just because it's probably the funnest. You have these 5 guys in Regency England, and Regency England was a time period where men and women could get away with a lot of scandalous stuff. I mean, Jane Austen makes it sound very buttoned down, but that time period was pretty wild. You know, they didn't have any wars going on. They weren't fighting anybody. It was a kind of a 20-year period where they were kind of could just get into trouble socially on their own, and it was a lot of fun. And so I have these 5 men that have these very strong bonds of friendship, and they kind of get into all these little mishaps and adventures, and they fall in love along the way. And what's so captivating for my readers about that series is from the very first page of the first book, you have all 5 heroes present in the story. Even though one story focuses on one hero and one heroine. Every single book in the series has all of the men and their future wives or current wives interacting. And so it's like you never have to say goodbye to those characters, and it only builds on that loyalty. I'm going to be releasing my fifth book this July, and I have fans that are absolutely raving mad. They just are desperate to get to so-and-so's story, which is book 7 or 8 down the line.
You that's know? And it's brilliant just that from a marketing perspective.
I love
that's
it.
Brilliant.
I love it. Lauren Smith, we are off to go and start on that series, Romance Novelist. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know, the credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-314-7417. 800-314-7417. That's 800-314-7417.
Many books have been written regarding the law of attraction, but what if all these books are missing the most important information we can use when it comes to activating this law in our lives? The new book, It's Time to Align, the most powerful self-help book ever written by Alan Lottinger, takes a look at how the law of attraction really works and how it is being suppressed in our lives. Learn how to overcome this manipulation and how to experience alignment with the creative power of the universe. Get the new book, It's Time to Align, available at Amazon.com.
Always a pleasure to welcome to the show Dawn Zier, of course, President and Chief Executive Officer of Nutrisystem. And it's summertime, bathing suits. Boy, you think of picnics. You think of so many things related to the way we feel and the way we look, frankly, and what we're eating. Hi, Dawn. How are you?
Hi. Good morning, Kate.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about you the other day because, of course, I've lost now over 40 pounds. And so what's happened to me is all my old bathing suits and clothes, boom, guess what? They went to Goodwill because I don't even want to take
a
chance.
That's fun, right? That's a good feeling.
Yes, yes. And it's a great feeling. And it is because of Nutrisystem. And one of the things I learned about Nutrisystem is not to eat off of kids' plates, nephews, nieces, etc., because it seems like I'm always the cook and I didn't realize how much I did that. And that's calories, right?
Oh, and yeah, and as 81% of moms are guilty of doing it, you know, eating off the plates of their kids. I know I used to do it when my kids were younger all the time.
Yeah, and so this new survey, and that's what you're quoting, the 81%, also the people in that survey thought that they were doing the right thing. They thought they were eating healthy and et cetera, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's actually, in the study we learned that one in three people actually are admitting that they eat less healthy than they did before they became a parent, but we believe the number actually is a lot higher, because it's really hard to eat healthy as a mom, because you're busy, you don't have as much time for yourself, and then again, you know, this little thing that we're doing, which is snacking off the kids' plates.
Yeah, and snacking off the kids' plates, what comes to mind? I can tell you one thing, it's chicken nuggets, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. For me, Kate, it's the pizza crust. Like, my kids, when they were young, did not eat the pizza crust, and I would wait for it, and I would, like, clean up all their plates with eating the pizza crust, and that adds up. And I'm looking at this infographic we put together, and, of course, I picked the highest-calorie thing that moms typically sneak off the kids' plate.
Right, the crust was, what was it? Because I have that same infographic.
Yeah, and the crust was like 72 calories in one pizza crust, and usually I'd get two because I have two kids, so that beats the half a cupcake.
Yeah, no kidding. And then it's the obvious things. You have potato chips, like I mentioned, nuggets, cupcakes, mac and cheese, all of that.
Mac and cheese, yum, right? And we don't make mac and cheese for ourselves generally as adults, but it's kind of interesting. And, you know, you often wonder why, you know, we're a society where we give the kids different foods than we eat as adults. And granted, their palates aren't as developed, but, you know, we certainly tend to give them what we would typically classify as junk food quite often.
Yeah, and a lot of this is, and you talk about this, a lot of this is measuring. The thing that I've said this over and over again, the thing that I realized is portion sizes and writing down what I was eating, because it goes back to that same thing for everybody listening. That's why Nutrisystem, to me, it's another great benefit of it, because you're learning, oh my gosh, I was eating ridiculous sizes when I thought they were small. And that's another thing that's interesting with kids and this leftover food on the plate, then it's probably you're serving them up too much.
Yeah, I think we definitely tend to feed our kids more. And if they're giving us back plates full with food still on it, that's another indication, and we should probably, you know, think through that and cut back. You know, if somebody's hungry, you can always give them more food. But, you know, we're in this culture, too, still, where we all often have, you know, the clean the plate mentality because of all the world issues surrounding us and even in our country, right? You know, we definitely have a country where there are problems where people don't have enough food. But, you know, in general, you know, the kids are not, you know, eating their full plate, and, you know, we're cleaning it up for them.
Yeah, no kidding. I think it's always worth mentioning this, because this is another thing that I like about Nutrisystem is the variety. And I realized the other day when I went and looked at the menu, it seems to me like there's limitless choices. There's over 150, right? Wow.
Yeah, we keep adding some new ones. I just placed an order because, summer's here, right? So, you know, if you didn't, it's time. It's time to get a little more serious when you're not at the barbecues. And I noticed a couple of new items that I'm trying out, so I'm excited about those.
Yeah, the snack items are really, you've got these, for people listening too, you have these mixed nuts that are great. It's just like you're sitting somewhere eating nuts, only the way it's measured and the way it tastes, it's the little bit of the sweet mixed in there, and that is really good, I have to say. And the chocolate, and you, I know you're a fan of these, and I don't think this will ever go away for me, is the chocolate muffins are great.
Oh, yeah, they're my go-to in the morning. That and the cinnamon roll, my go-to morning breakfast, because they're easy. They're fast and they're good.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, Dawn Zier, great stuff, president and CEO of Nutrisystem. Thanks so much.
Talk to you soon, Kate.
All right, so just to add on to what we were talking about there, it really is true. I was looking at the menu items the other day, and that's what's worked so well for me, is the fact that there's so much variety, and it's easy because it's a lot of types of food that I can easily take with me, so I don't have that excuse of, oh my gosh, how can I take this? I can't possibly warm this up or eat this or, you know, whatever. And you have so many choices, like the muffins in the morning, the easy, ready-to-go kinds of food. And remember, you're mixing in other types of food with this, like fat-free yogurt, string cheese, mixed nuts, even cottage cheese with fruit, frozen bananas and yogurt smoothies, whole grain crackers and almond butter, you know, when we're talking about snacks. And that's also part of this. Somebody recently asked me, well, what about regular food? Well, guess what? You are putting that into what you're eating. It's that serving size that snaps us all. And I know you guys can relate to that, too. You know, when you would watch the Nutrisystem spots, how often would you see Dan Marino and some of the other football players over the years that have endorsed Nutrisystem? And I had a conversation with him once about it, and he told me it was just incredible how, for him, how easy it was to follow that along and mix in foods, other servings that you mix in, like eggs, like an egg, like edamame, like ham, like luncheon meat, like, you know, pork, etc. I mean, I could go on and on, like shrimp. There's all kinds of food, normal food that you're also mixing in with what you're able to eat with Nutrisystem. And I think the other key thing to all of this for any of us, period, is the tracking deal. I mean, we know, right? What goes in and what goes in is what's leading to bulking you up. But it's easy to think that and then not realize, which was the point of having the conversation with Dawn about kids and stop eating off of kids' plates, because they say in this survey it accounts for about 6 extra pounds a year. And you're just not aware of it because that's what you're doing. You eat, as Dawn mentioned, you know, the pizza crust off of the plate. Or you're eating whatever the leftover is, the nuggets, the French fries. I know for me, I was always with my nephew when he was a kid, and that was it. He'd be running around, and there would be, of course, he was about chicken nuggets, and you'd be running around cleaning off the plate, and that's what happens. And before you know it, it's grabbing, grabbing, grabbing all of this food, and that adds up, and then you're frustrated because you realize it. And I know as many women can relate to this that are listening. I don't care what shift you're on or where you're listening to me, whether you're listening to me through TuneIn during the day somewhere, because a lot of you email me and say that you wish you had a schedule where you listen to me live, or if you're listening to me live and you have a schedule like me, frankly, where I'm all over the map and people always say, when do you sleep? When do you sleep? And that's part of it, is knowing when you're getting enough sleep and when you wake up, what you're eating, so that it's not this stuffing in of food that you're not realizing and counting, because you're just grabbing little bits here and little bits there, and then you're eating a bunch of meals. And, of course, that all, again, goes back to the portion sizes. It was maybe a couple of weeks ago, somebody asked me to go out to lunch, and they wanted to go to Cheesecake Factory, and I thought, wow, that's just nightmarish. The food, I'm sure, is good. But the problem is, you know about these horrific sizes, and it's like you're back in King Henry VIII times. You know why they called them royalty, right? And the sizes, so I always heard, well, you know what? The thing you do is you just split it, so you think of it as being two portions. I think you think of food when they serve it up at a place like that as 3 or 4 sizes, because it's just that big. And the sizes that we're looking at, my friend Donna St. Louis, who's been on the show, told me the other day when she was at a doctor's office, he said, remember the kids' meals? That used to be the regular meals for McDonald's. Wow. So think about that. That's what they used to serve, and now look at the sizes. They're calling that a kid's meal. All right, so you get it. Check out Nutrisystem. I think it's great. I think it's awesome. And we have Dawn on because it's just a reminder of things that, you know, I know you feel better, you look better, and you have less health problems when you feel like you're in shape and you have control of what you're eating, and certainly it's much healthier for you. Thanks so much, as always, for listening to this show. We'll see you again on America Tonight.
What's lurking in your water? More than 200 contaminants could be sitting there, just waiting for your glass.
With the ProPure water filter, start enjoying clean and great-tasting water today. ProPure filters, independently tested, latest water filter technology. ProPure systems do not require electricity and are easy to set up and easy to use. To find out more, visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.